Radio. Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
So cool. Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Let me say at the beginning of this program, if your diocese is celebrating the Ascension on Sunday, then you want to go to yesterday's readings. That is Thursday's program. Thursday's program has the readings for the Ascension of the Lord. The readings that I'm using for this Sunday are the readings for the seventh Sunday of Easter. So you get to, and depending on which day you celebrate what, you can choose. So there are readings for every day, but as we know and as I've said before, it varies from diocese to diocese when the Ascension is celebrated, whether it's on Thursday or whether it's celebrated on Sunday. So just look through the readings. You can go to our website if you wish, renewalministries.net. You can go to radio. You can listen to the programs. You can re-listen to them. Both Peter Herbeck's and my programs, Fire on the Earth, and mine, Food for the Journey. Just go to radio at renewalministries.net. You can listen to those programs anytime you want. So if you're confused on what readings are for which day this week, just check our website. We'll have them all there. You can benefit that way as well. Today we do, as I said, look ahead to the readings for the seventh Sunday of Easter. The seventh Sunday of Easter. And the first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, verse 20. And then verse 20 to 26. I'm saying those things so that if at all possible you can have a scripture in front of you and read as I'm reading. Peter stood up in the midst of the brothers. There was a group of about 120 persons in the one place. And he said, "My brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who was the guide for those who arrested Jesus." He guided those who arrested Jesus. "He was numbered among us and was allotted a share in this ministry. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May another take his office.' Therefore, it is necessary that one of the men who accompanied us the whole time the Lord Jesus came and went among us, beginning from the baptism of John, until the day on which he was taken up from us," that's the Ascension, "become with us a witness to his resurrection." So he's saying that we need an eyewitness, somebody who was with us all the way on this. And so they proposed two, Judas called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. And then they prayed. Notice, they just didn't discuss what about this and what about that. They prayed. "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic ministry from which Judas turned away to go to his own place." Then they gave lots to them, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was counted with the 11 apostles. What a moment that must have been for Matthias. What a sorrowful moment, too, for the loss of Judas. And yet they knew they had to move forward. Someone had to take his place. They were looking for someone God-fearing, someone who had been faithful, someone who had heard Jesus' teaching, someone who had accompanied them. Remember the old saying, if you were being accused of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, would you be convicted? If you were accused of being a disciple, would you be convicted? In other words, would it be very clear in your life, your thoughts, your words, your actions, that you were a follower of Jesus Christ, that you were truly a Christian? Would that be evident? Would there be enough evidence to say, yes, this is a disciple? Even if it meant death, would you be willing? Are you a true disciple, or are you only a disciple when the sun shines? It's very, very important that you deal with that in your own life. We don't need people in name only. Well, I go to church every Sunday. That does not make you a disciple. Not that alone does not make you a disciple. Yes, we need to worship the Lord every Sunday, absolutely. But just doing the action doesn't make you a disciple. Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Are they converted to the gospel? Your priorities, those of the gospel? Your goals, that of the gospel? Would Jesus recognize you as one of his followers if he walked among us here? Those are very serious questions that need to be addressed by each of us. Psalm 103, the Lord has set his throne in heaven. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all my being, bless his holy name. Does all your being bless his holy name? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him, that is, toward those who reverence him, who follow him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. When our sin is forgiven, it's gone, brothers and sisters. There it is, right there. There are other scriptures, but here's Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. But it's clear in other parts of scripture, he doesn't just wipe them away. We need to repent. And when we repent, he not only forgives, but he banishes it. It's as though it never were. You want his forgiveness. Don't hide your sin. Be set free. The second reading from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. Yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testified that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever remains in love remains in God and God in him. Do you believe that? Do you live out of that? Do you abide in Christ? Do you walk with Christ? Are you sustained by Christ? Is that the source of all you need? Do you look to him? Do you praise him? Do you thank him for making a way for you, for loving you into life, for freeing you from your sin, from giving you the advocate to lead you safely home? Do you live out of that? Or do you just listen to this program and then go about business as usual? God wants your life to change. He wants it ordered more and more toward his goals and his priorities. And as I've so often said, that's when you become really happy. Please take a look at your life. Be honest enough to take a look. Be honest enough to make a valid assessment. Would you be convicted as being a disciple of Jesus Christ if they came for you today? Or would you be able to weasel out? The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. This is part of Jesus, known as Jesus' priestly prayer to the Father. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, this is his prayer for us. Think of this now. This is his prayer for you. Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. We're invited into that level of intimacy, union with the Father and the Son. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I want them to hear how I'm praying, that they might share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Do you belong to the world, or do you belong to Christ? It's a stark question, and it demands a very clear, decisive answer. Children of God, sons and daughters of God, I gave them your word, and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Are we with Christ or not? There's no middle ground, brothers and sisters. Honestly, there is not. If you try for the middle ground, you get torn apart by the work of the enemy. It's only when you're fully sold out that you have all the protection you need. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Those who follow him, those who are his disciples, you have to fight the battles with the evil one still, but you will win. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. See, Jesus looked at his disciples, and that's part of how he identified them. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Can you identify with that? Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. I consecrate myself for them so that they also may be consecrated in truth. Brothers and sisters, truth, yes, it expresses itself in words of wisdom, yes. But truth, as I've so often said on this program, to be consecrated in the truth means to be consecrated in your relationship with Jesus, who told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is not a series of beliefs. Truth is a person. I consecrate myself for them so that they also may be consecrated in truth. You want to live by truth. And we all compromise. We all try to get a little of this and a little of that. And if I don't go too far this way or that way, then I won't fall over. Don't do that with your life. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to be sold out for Jesus Christ. It's the only way to live, and it's what people desperately need. They need to see it. They need to follow. Brothers and sisters, please become a true disciple of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. I want to offer you a free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. It can be received by calling our 800 number, 1-800.